Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 52.
This is The Great Escape.
Or The Not So Great Escape. This is about Italian Greyhounds, or really any dog. If your dog runs away or escapes out a door or a gate, etc. So why are we doing this episode? We know that Italian Greyhounds are fast. So this is something that can go from zero to bajillion really quickly, because your Iggy could get super far within just a few seconds.
They're really skinny and efficient at escaping. So if something might hold a bigger dog in, it may not be effective for these small little skinny dogs.
I remember our breeder said, even in the very beginning, that Adelaide was an escape artist. She escaped from her pen in the house and outside on the lawn when they had a pen set up with all the puppies. I was like, what are we getting into? She's a smart cookie. Another reason we're doing it, Italian Greyhounds get spooked easily. They love to chase and be chased. So often a chase game can turn into your dog running out the door or running away.
And they are sight hounds. So they're driven by sight. And it might be that your recall doesn't work if they are completely focused on whatever they're chasing after. And you may not be able to anticipate it because they can see things so much better than you can.
See something further away,
right.
or smell something. Again, I know they're not scent hounds. We said sight hound, but that's also a thing.
They're dogs.
So why are we doing this episode now, Ryan?
Well, we were inspired by an incident that it honestly really scared Jess a lot.
Still feels fresh.
Yeah. That we had someone come knock on the door, and Adelaide really wanted to meet them. So she squeezed between Dad's legs as he opened the door. And then she was out on the front lawn wanting to play with the person that had come and not responding to treats, not coming when called, just happy to be standing out on the front lawn.
Like nothing was wrong.
Yeah. But
get your butt back in here, Missy.
Yeah, but not moving towards us at all. So it took Jess going out with treats, approaching her slowly, and then picking her up.
I had to put the treat right in front of her nose because she was so still. It was very strange. But put the treat in front of her nose and then was able to scoop her up without scaring her. I did it super slowly. Because usually when we try to pick her up in the house, she doesn't like it and she'll run away. So I was surprised it worked, but I'm very grateful.
So we want to share our experience, as scary as it was, and hope that this discussion can help anyone in the future who may experience this. And so that we're a little more prepared. It made us realize how many things there are that we can do more to be prepared for if this happens.
Right. We could have been doing more, and now we have a bit more of an idea of the problems. We can try and address those, and you might have different problems. So we're going to just examine all of the things in this episode that could possibly happen if your dog tries to escape. And we also know that not everyone gets their happy ending. And so we're so grateful. And honestly, like it was an afternoon of crying for me when it happened. So my mind goes to the worst, because we know friends of ours that have had to experience the worst case scenario. So while we know this is a super emotional topic, we're going to try and keep it as light as we can to be positive and hope that everything we talk about today helps you to keep your dog home with you and helps to keep them alive. So in this episode, we're going to talk about our recent experience. We're going to talk about all of our experiences, really, because this isn't the very first time it's happened, but it's the first time that we didn't get the response from Adelaide that we wanted to get her back inside and safe. We're also going to list all the possible dangers of your dog possibly escaping. We've got both a combination of our experience and answers from our audience. We're also going to list some escape tips, how to avoid your dog escaping. Lastly, if your dog escapes and they do not come back to you and they run off, we've got some tips on what to do if your dog is lost.
So the first part here, we're going to talk about our experience with Adelaide escaping. There have been a couple of times, all very minor, but all very real and could escalate. So the one is the front door that we were just talking about. That is kind of our most recent problem, where she just went out the front door. And since then, we have kind of made a bit of a barrier where we're kind of blocking off the front door.
Or if we can corral them into the front room and block off the front room, then that works for us too.
Anyway, we'll get into what we're going to do a little later. But our second most recent was one time we let Adelaide out into the backyard and the gate...
This is pre-Phoebe.
Right, yes. So it was just Adelaide and we let her out into the backyard and the gate had swung open. I think it, like the wood changes because of the seasons. It like loosens itself. So it came unlatched, swung open, and then she went out. But her instincts to stay home were stronger than her excitement to explore. So she ran from the side
out the back of the fence.
Yeah.
To the side of the house where the front door is.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. I was getting confused. Front door, side of the house. Anyway, she ran right to the front door.
And waited there. And I came out in my PJs screaming, shaking the treats and come back.
And then the first time we had this happen was when we lived in an apartment.
So a little more low stakes.
Yes. That she just got into the hallway. But again, we were dealing with these chase instincts where you go after her and she moves a little farther away.
I could not get her back in. And we actually have a video of me running down the hall to try and get her to come back in because we played a little chase game to draw her back in. The issue with the apartment is that we had so many dogs that lived on our floor. I think every other apartment had a dog. Maybe more had dogs, like 70%. So there were dogs of all different shapes and sizes. If you have a big dog, our little Italian greyhound could look like prey. Or if you have an elderly dog, our little Italian greyhound puppy could be a huge bully to your sweet basset hound that is a senior. And you never know if someone, again, if their dog has kennel cough or they don't mix well with other dogs and, you know, it's too late and they're running into someone else's apartment and et cetera. So that was also pre-COVID. And now that it is COVID, at least in our area, we are still very concerned. And that would not be a great situation, maybe even if we had that happen now.
And then we had one sort of almost escape with Phoebe.
She tried.
So this is when she was still really small, when it was starting to get warmer in the spring. And we had her puppy collar and puppy leash. But she, because it had been so cold, did not have very much experience out walking. So her instinct was to try and bite through the leash like it was a chew toy, which was kind of cute.
Yeah. Like, and, oh my God, look at her trying to escape. Ha ha.
And I forget if we were either waiting for a mobile order for lunch or we were taking a photo. I forget what it was that we were waiting for. But it was like, okay, I'm just going to stand here with Phoebe. She's going to do her thing. Like, now's not the time that I want to do the training to like not chew on the leash. And
after, she'll stop after a second. She'll get bored. It's right. Fine.
And after 2 minutes, we look down and there's strings fraying off of the leash. This is just a woven nylon leash. We picked her up, looked at her leash, and if you held it up to the sun, you could see light coming through.
Yeah.
So she was making her way through that leash.
I remember don't know how long it would have lasted. We were mobile ordering because you went into Tim Hortons and I was holding Phoebe and you didn't know what happened.
That's what it, yes.
And then I said, look at this. And we held it up to the sun and it was holding on by a few strands.
Yeah.
So me being at that moment, single dog mom, holding one dog and having the other dog on the leash and just hoping that nothing startles the dog to need to walk somewhere because we were, had to carry her home.
So those are the experiences that we've had that have been sort of close calls. But then we have our sort of brainstorming of potential situations that we want to keep an eye out for in the future.
And input from our audience as well.
Okay. So we have going out the front door when someone comes to the door, going out the backyard if it is not secured the way that you want.
Whether that's a hole in the fence or anything like mm-hmm. that.
We have the hallway of an apartment.
So a semi-escape.
Right. There's then dog park, right? I have always been nervous of that. The dog parks we have gone to have the two-door system where you kind of go into a holding area, close one door, open the inside area or inside door, and then you can go into the main dog park. But if someone else is not paying attention, our dogs are fast, our dogs are skinny, like...
And very friendly. Adelaide's a social butterfly. She would go follow you out
there. Right. Yeah, she goes and she's like, oh, I want to meet the new dogs as they're coming in.
I'll go home with this corgi.
Yeah.
No, Adelaide, your parents are here. We've also had experiences at the trail. So an off-leash trail, that is something to be concerned about. We didn't mention this, but Phoebe did run from us on a trail when she got separated from our group of Italian Greyhounds. And we called her back, but a dog kept getting in between her and us and scaring her. And we weren't able to get her back. We had to run. And it wasn't she was running from us. She was running from the other dog. So in that sense, us running to go get her actually didn't scare her or chase her away. In that sense, us running to go get her was a big help because she was scared and kind of motionless. She bolted and then froze. But anyways, we forgot to tell that story. That was the other close call at a trail.
Another hypothetical that came to mind is traveling in the car. So our dogs around the house generally don't wear their collars. We only have the wide sighthound collars for them or the buddy belt for Adelaide or for Phoebe. So we don't really have them wear those around the house. It would be too cumbersome. They're always scratching at them when they do have them on. So we've kind of transferred that to the car that we just put them in the travel crate and then put the collars on them once we get to wherever we're going. Like first step is put the collar on. Second step is leash them up. But Phoebe in particular is always excited to get out of the car when we arrive. And it's kind of a balancing game of I have to get your collar on while keeping the other one at bay because we have them in the same travel crate. So I can imagine that being a situation where they get away and then don't have any identification.
Right. In that situation, I've always said, ugh, it's so annoying because it's hard to get the collars on the girls with keeping the other one at bay, like you said. And now I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like, it's not just annoying, it's risky. We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
We're going to keep collars on them the second they leave the house, no matter what.
Right. And one thing we don't have is a tag collar or a house collar that you don't attach a leash to, but then they kind of always have their identification on. So that's maybe something for us to look for in the future for situations like that, and maybe even just around the house all the time.
And now it's making me consider every time we let the girls in the backyard, maybe we should have collars on them at least, because we do have collars with tags that have our phone number and one of them has our Instagram handle.
Yep.
But yeah, we're going to get into tips and advice just after this. So
sorry, I keep jumping ahead.
I know, that's okay. It all revolves around the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Here's another thing. List of potential escapes during the move of your home. So sometimes people like us, we moved from an apartment to a house. We were very lucky that Adelaide actually spent a lot of time at our current house previously because it's my parents' house. So we're living in the basement of my parents' house. And when we had Adelaide escape, she actually knew how to come to the front door when she escaped out of the backyard. And we didn't even live here yet.
Right. Yeah. Pre-Phoebe means before we lived here.
Yeah. So that's because Adelaide had spent so much time here. My parents have been a huge help when we were having trouble to be able to take care of Adelaide the best that we could. We had my parents helping, and Adelaide loves them, and honestly, I think both our dogs think of them as their immediate family now, too.
And then the last thing on our potential list is just getting out of their harness while you're out for a walk. So whether that's a harness or a collar, if it is not fit right, if it is not the right shape. We had a puppy harness for Adelaide to start before we got her first buddy belt, and she got close to getting out of it. So being able to pull her little skinny arms out of it, and then her neck being so skinny, like it would be tight on her chest and then kind of loose around the neck, which is A, more bothersome to her, right? But more incentive to try and get out of it. And then maybe a little easier because she's got some leverage in that extra space.
I'm sorry, I got off track with the moving story, but we do know of Italian Greyhounds and friends of ours that have had the experience of losing their dog because of a change in house.
Because they don't know where to go.
They don't know where to go. They don't know where is home. And you're moving. So there's probably so many opportunities. You've got doors open for long periods of time. You've got to make sure the dog is in a crate or being taken care of. On our move, Ryan and I determined, you know what, Jess, your job today is to make sure the dogs are okay. That was like my big job for when we moved. I watched the dogs, walked them, made sure they were safe in their pen. When loud noises like couches going out in the door and going down the stairs, I was there to help keep them happy and safe. And we had that opportunity. It's COVID again, and it happened during COVID, or maybe we would have sent them to a friend's house, or maybe we would have sent them to a doggy daycare. But in our situation, I was always keeping my first eye out on the dogs. So we have a story here just from one of our listeners, and I'm just going to read it word for word because this is something that happened, a story of escaping. It was a happy ending, but here we go. This is from Mia the Iggy. One time Mia walked right through the fence bars at a dog park and ran right into the parking lot. My mind went blank and my stomach felt sick, but I knew I had to get it together and think fast. So I just pretended I was playing and said, "Mia, come back to mommy," and ran the opposite direction. And she came running over. Thank God. So that's kind of the situation we had in the hallway I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. That using the chase to your advantage.
Right, exactly. We also got a submission from our friends, Henry the Smalls. That's Henry and Kara. And Henry was a bit of an escape artist. He's a cavalier. And he was an escape artist out on a walk from his harness. So that's something that, again, we have always been concerned about, making sure that our harnesses fit. We've had really good luck with buddy belts. But we haven't done an episode about collars and harnesses. And I really feel like we should. Because, again, like kind of an offshoot of this topic, it is very important to have the right fit and the right kind of harness for your dog.
We don't have any notes about it here, but this is just making me remember. Didn't you have a dog get out of a collar when you were a dog walker?
Oh, I did. Oh, my God. I had an Australian Shepherd, and this is one of the first dogs that I ever walked, and he escaped from the collar, but the weirdest thing was, he was so big and bushy and it was in the snow. He just came up to me and hit my butt with his head and looked at me. And I looked down at him. And then I saw that the collar was like hanging off the edge of the leash. I was like, oh my God. Well, that's terrifying.
Is this an argument against loose leash walking? Our dogs are always pulling, so we always know that they're there at the end of the leash.
I know. I was like, oh, he was just walking on the snow, being a great dog. He was a great dog. But, I don't know. He just got out of his collar. And that was just a basic collar. Again, he was big and bushy. Like, his fur was very voluptuous. So I think maybe it's just hard to find a collar for his neck size. But anywho, don't let that loose leash walking fool you.
So our next section here is our advice for if your dog has escaped, whether that's on a walk, out on a trail, or just right out the front door. The first thing is that you should resist the urge to chase. So you will never outrun an Italian Greyhound. Italian Greyhounds are faster than the fastest humans, or
right.
as fast as the fastest humans. So you will never outrun them. You need them to come back to you.
And if you are going to use chase to your advantage, this is what we were saying, if you were to run in the opposite direction and try and get them to follow you, now that's a different story. I don't know if this is going to be a great option in every case. You have to assess each situation differently. Because in the case of Adelaide on our front lawn, the second I came up to her, because she was so still and I had the treats right in front of her nose, I think it was better for me to scoop her up than to try and run and get her in the house as well, because we had two other people outside, the person who had rung our doorbell and my dad. So having two other people out there, she's, again, in the moment, it's happening so fast and you have to make decisions quickly. I looked at the situation and I thought, Adelaide's not going to come with me if I try and get her to chase me.
The other thing, God forbid, if she had gone across the road, you would not want to try and get her to chase you back across the road.
Right, of course. It's all dependent on where you are, mm-hmm. what your situation is. Also, I saw her looking. She was looking. And I thought to myself, if she sees another dog, we're done. She's running. A car's going to hit her. That's it. But she was sniffing the grass, kind of staying there still, but looking far in the distance, just like observing. And that's what made me really nervous because I kept calling her name. I kept shaking a bag of treats, which always works. I said, touch. I said, come. Nothing worked. And these are all skills that we've practiced.
Another piece of advice that actually we got in researching for this episode is that you could lie down on the ground. So they might get curious and might come to you. So Jess can attest to this from every time she has done yoga.
Just happened earlier today.
That they are very curious about you being on the ground with them.
Any ab exercise, any plank, anything on my hands and knees. Attack mode. They come and jump on me. So use that to your advantage.
You can then use peanut butter or some other high value treat, but something with a strong smell.
Right. These were recommendations from some of our listeners as well.
So we had just the basic training treats to lure Adelaide back this time. But the first time when she got out the side gate, I grabbed the freeze-dried food that she had because I just couldn't find the treats, but that worked well to draw her back.
Well, that was smart because I just went running out in my PJs, just screaming her name because I didn't know. I saw the door open and I went, oh my God. I had no idea how far she had gotten. So I was just like, oh my God, Adelaide, Adelaide. And then I looked and she's just like standing at the front door shaking, like waiting for someone to let her in. And then the funny thing about that story, I mean, funny, but stressful thing, is that our front door was locked. And I was just out there in my PJs. I didn't have keys. And I opened the door and I tried to open the door and it was locked. And then I tried to scoop Adelaide up and she was not having it. She would not let me scoop her up. She knew where the door was. She wanted to go in the door. And because I wouldn't open it, she didn't want me to pick her up. And so that's where Ryan came in with the freeze-dried treats or food. And I think you were the one who was able to get her.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Again, everything happened so fast and my mind goes to the worst case scenario. So in those situations, standing at our front door, shaking the lock, please open. It feels ridiculous now, but it's what we do for our dogs. So something to another bit of advice would be to practice recall. And we've practiced recall a lot with Adelaide, but I will say maybe we're on the rusty side because we don't go to the dog park as often. And when we recall her from the backyard, she'll come, but I have to like shake the bag of treats or something like that because it's pretty fun to be in the backyard. So practice recall, but also practice recall in situations that are distracting. Don't just practice recall in the house. Practice recall when you can outdoors where there's lots of sounds, smells, stimulation.
Another thing you can do is have a tracking device. So there are some dog-specific tracking devices that are something that you can hang off of the dog's collar. Some of them are kind of big for Italian greyhounds, honestly, but if you could find a better way to attach it to the collar. The other thing is Apple AirTags that have just come out recently. We
got some.
We have some. I'm planning to make something to put on the collar, but it hasn't happened yet. So again, need to practice what we preach with this.
I know. Maybe we can get something in the meantime before you make something, Ryan.
I was also doing a little research about this, and Apple doesn't specifically mention locating your dog as a use case for them for two reasons. One, the liability that they don't want to be held responsible. And the other thing is that dogs often run away into rural areas where there are not phones nearby. They work by pinging nearby Apple devices like phones and computers.
Right.
So if you're in the city, there's definitely going to be nearby devices, but if you're a little farther out, a little more spread out, that might not work.
But worth a shot, and we're gonna obviously try it out and not let our dogs loose into the fields, but gonna try it out for future. A suggestion from a listener for advice, they use an X pen, and also as well a recommendation was a gate just at the front door. So if there's any possible areas that your dog could escape, like opening the door if someone's on the doorstep and it attracts them out, having a gate, having an X pen, having something there that just gives you peace of mind. And that's something we're working towards. We might try and find a more permanent solution, but also we don't know how long living in the current home where we are is going to be. So we don't want to buy something too permanent when our life is kind of in flux. But stay tuned for those details as well. Another suggestion from a listener was to put up posters. So if your dog is lost, put up posters. And if you're driving around in the car, that your dog might know your car, potentially they might come to your car because they recognize it.
So that leads into our last section here, all about what to do if your dog is lost. So if you have lost sight of them, if they have actually
escaped,
then we've got a few things for you to do, some more obvious than others, and some are more active than others. So the first thing that you can do is contact your local dog search organizations. So whether this is the SPCA, like, or the...
There's official search party sort of organizations depending on your area.
Yeah. So just do a quick search of dog search organization, your area, and they can then help you coordinate with search parties and posters and other things that we're going to suggest.
And cameras.
Ah, yes.
That's a lot of these organizations have cameras in certain areas like fields and common areas that dogs get lost. And you can get surveillance footage potentially of your dog being sighted from these organizations. I call them organizations because I don't exactly know your local situation, but I do know of people in our area that have done this, and it helps to have the footage and sightings of your dog.
So if they are microchipped, it's good to remember that this is not a GPS. This is, if someone finds your dog, hopefully they will bring them to a vet or a shelter, and then from there they would be able to contact you. I'm actually just thinking about this. Do we know if the information is correct, like attached to the microchips?
I don't know, unless it like connects to the vet's profile for that dog.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be worth a call to our vet to ask them
what happens with this microchip.
Yeah, how to verify the information, make sure it's correct. Like if we move again soon, like we're hoping
to. It's true.
We're gonna need to change some things. Our phone numbers will probably be different, and that would be kind of worst case scenario is we have this in place, but the information is wrong. So good to double check that.
Good thought on that, Ryan.
For us and for
this
you.
This episode is really just us going through a list of things that we have to do.
Yeah, we're just making an errand list for ourselves.
Welcome to our to-do list, folks. Well, the other thing I wanted to say about contacting your local dog search organization, whatever it may be, is that they'll assist you, again, like I said, in surveillance footage, but also in safely getting your dog back. So I know that sometimes they have like safe, I don't know, don't want to call it a trap, that sounds awful, but like a safe sort of crate trap that they can use. And they have people sort of working for them to help search for your dog as well.
If you're going to put up a poster, it is often effective to attach a reward to finding the dog.
I've also heard that it should be a high reward, and I know that sucks.
Yeah.
But if it helps to bring your dog home, you know, kind of one of those priceless things.
Mm-hmm.
Social media. Social media is not just for cute pictures. It can help to bring your dog home. Hey, I mean, it can. We have seen so many lost dogs through our Instagram. And one, it's heartbreaking. My heart aches every time I see one of the dogs that we know or familiar with on social media is missing. But we have seen some happy endings, which is so lovely. And one of the things as well is putting it on social media is great, but it has happened more than once where I will share a poster for the missing dog, and then the owners contact me and say, dog was found, please take down the information. We're getting weird calls, or people who can see where we live because of the GPS tracker and things like that. So just being careful of your own personal information while you're in search of your dog. Don't also forget to check for your own privacy.
The other thing I would say, if you see someone has posted about a lost dog, they're going through a hard time. So I would say don't message them unnecessarily.
Don't message them, oh my God, what happened? They're going to have 100 people or thousands of people. I don't know. It depends on, you know, how popular the dog is. Just how many people know of this dog. And
yeah. So just be sensitive to that situation. If you have something that could be helpful, then that's a great time to reach out to them. But just for your own curiosity, that's not a great time to spark up a conversation with them.
Right. And if they don't respond back, you know, just respect that.
Yeah.
And they're not being rude. They're in survival mode. If your pet has a GPS, that's a great tool. Use it to the best of your ability. I know some GPS trackers for dogs are connected through other people in the community who have that certain tracker. I know that happens with different brands and different styles of trackers. So again, reaching out to that network of people. And then if you do locate your dog, same rules apply. Try things like getting down on the ground and letting the dog come to you. Never approach the dog in a fast or scary way. And even if you don't think you're being fast or scary, to a very fearful Italian greyhound, you, even as their owner, might look scary to them. So bringing a treat, like a really high value treat, bringing a toy from home that they really like, something that smells like home.
Something that has an enticing sound, a squeaker or something like that as well. And it's good to not give up hope. So there was an episode of the Dog Mom podcast where they talked about having been reunited after 6 months. So this was unfortunately the case of someone having taken the dog, but being able to give a good description of the dog to the vet and shelter who might find your pet can really help. So
things having, like weird birthmarks. Or...
Right. Yeah. Having lots of pictures of your dog as well. Right. Yeah. Having a recent picture of your dog is good to compare to.
Right. It's also helpful, though. In this situation, it was, I believe it was a doodle. So the hair looked different. It had been 6 months. And I forget if it was the groomer or the vet or someone who found them. But they're not going to necessarily look like those photos that you had of them even 6 months ago. So a recent picture might become less recent depending on if they take a trip to the groomers.
Right. I was thinking of Italian greyhounds.
Most
generally have unique markings and don't change with the season.
I know. Just in that particular instance. And again, if you're listening to this and your dog also gets groomed, that's a big concern.
So we will put a link to that episode where you can hear that story and get some advice from them as well.
Yeah.
And then the last tip here we have is if your dog has run away, it might be a good idea to keep the door open so that they are not deterred from coming back in, and maybe have something that they're used to smelling. So whether that's turkey or their favorite treats or their dog food that they love, there as just extra incentive for them, because dogs can follow scents for miles and miles. And depending on how far they have gotten or not far they have gotten, that smell might be all that it takes to draw them back to your house.
So I hope that these tips help. And I hope that, first of all, this never happens to you. But if it does happen to you, you feel equipped to be able to handle something like this. And you're able to think fast. You are not going to chase your dog. You're going to try and lure them back in, whichever way you can, whether that's lying down, having a treat, calling them over, having really good recall practice. So many tools to help you in those situations, but we definitely relate to being shocked in the moment and not knowing what to do. And of course, all of the preventative things as well. Like we said, have a gate, have a X pen, make sure that your fence is fully secure if you're letting your dogs out, even unsupervised for just a moment, because it only took 30 seconds for me not looking at Adelaide in the backyard, and I didn't check that fence door and the gate, and she had scooted out to the front lawn.
It's also great to remember to have identification for them. So something that we need to look into, whether that's updated information with their microchip at your vet, or making sure that they always have their identity collar on. So the dog that Jess used to live with, Maisie, she just lived in her collar all the time. Our dogs are a little fussier than that, and a little skinnier. I don't know, Maisie's 6 pounds, but but she's smaller.
She's got fur. She's a toy poodle. Yeah. So yeah, it didn't really bother her to have her collar on all the time.
Mm-hmm. So if you can find something that fills that need for you, then I think that would be helpful. I'm telling myself, like, oh, this is a good thing that we need to look into.
So thanks for listening to this episode. And
if you caught us live last Thursday with a Dog podcast, we did kind of a joint live, and that is where we officially announced our Patreon. So that is going to be a place where you can support what we do here on the Iggy Parents. The Iggy Parents will continue to be completely free and coming out weekly, but on our Patreon, we are going to have two new podcasts that you can subscribe to. So we will have Bedtime Puppy Tales, which is some bedtime stories with meditation for people that like these kinds of stories. Same kind of thing that we always listen to before going to bed. And then we will have our other podcast, which is going to be a social media advice podcast, will be bi-weekly. It's called Real Talk. And that is going to be somewhere that we can open up a little more, because it's going to be a bit more private, because it'll just be members that get that. We can maybe dive deeper into some analytics, some advice, and some things that we are doing and trying with our own social media. So that is going to be patreon.com/theiggyparents. It officially launches at the beginning of July, but you can go there and check out the public episodes that we have now. We've put up episodes of Bedtime Puppy Tales and Real Talk that were originally episodes of the Iggy Parents. So we hope to see you there, and you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks leading up to our official launch in July.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at the Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.